Feel the beat.
It's what's happening, who's happening at Cerritos College, and why.
Feel the beat with Talon Marks and TalonMarks.com.
It's what you're doing, what you're thinking, what you're watching and listening to.
Feel the beat with Talon Marks and TalonMarks.com.
It's your school, your town, your world, your life. Read about it in the Talon Marks and TalonMarks.com.
Feel the beat with Talon Marks and TalonMarks.com.
The Talon Marks and TalonMarks.com. The beat of Cerritos College.
This is the Talon Marks Campus News Hour on WPMD On The Net, bringing you what's happening and who's happening on the campus of Cerritos College. Here are your hosts, Tito Benavides and Enrique Rivera.
Today is September 21st. Welcome to Talon Marks Campus News Hour on WPMD.org On The Net, bringing you news and information campus-wide. Veins were slightly drained by the Red Cross for the twice-a-semester blood drive here at Cerritos College. Sugar-laden snacks and clever T-shirts with designs that give the choice to accept or ignore giving blood at Falcon Square. Assistant News Editor Patrick Dolly reporting.
My name is Rob Torres. I'm the Senior Field Manager for the American Red Cross, covering Cerritos College for the last 18 years.
What is it about college campuses, specifically Cerritos College, that piques the Red Cross interest to come and ask people to donate?
A lot of great students, number one. And the great students come from great high schools in our surrounding area, Downey, Lakewood, Bellflower, Artesia, these Norwalk. These surrounding areas have great establishments of high schools that have blood drives there, and that's where they really start their blood, basically their blood career. And when they come to Cerritos, basically all these students have either donated once or twice somewhere within our greater high school system, which is a great thing. Good students, great students.
You said blood career. I was going to ask you to expound on that a little bit.
Blood career meaning that we're hoping when you start donating blood in high school, that you'll be a blood donor forever. College, professional arena, just make sure that, you know, it's important to you as it is important to the blood supply and our hospitals needing it. So we appreciate being career blood donors. Well, let me tell you why this is so important right now in September. We had a horrible July and August in blood donations. Summer months are real tough for blood coming in. We don't have high schools. We don't have colleges. People on vacation. Accidents go up. Things like that. Unfortunately, the blood donations are not all there. So in this respect, we are now slowly picking up the blood supply. Cerritos College, this week, we're going to collect over 350 pints of blood this week. And that's going to help almost 1,000 lives in our community hospitals, because one pint of blood saves 3 lives. And that's what a blood donation is all about, saving lives, no other reason to donate.
350
pints of blood will be collected approximately here at Cerritos College this week from Monday yesterday till Thursday. That's going to save over 1,000 lives.
For the students at Cerritos College, saving lives is enough of a reason to donate. For those that might not be sure if that's something they wanted to do, what would, in your estimation, in your experience, what would be a reason to donate?
Well, one of the reasons to let people know that blood donation today is serving the community, meaning that the blood that we have in our hospitals is given by donors in the community, or we get none at all. So the most important thing is to know that you're doing a community responsibility, that if your blood should ever you need, and hopefully not, but you never know. That's what many people say in the hospitals. I never knew I was going to need blood. But if there's blood, if you're ever going to need it for a blood transfusion, an operation, surgery, accident, whatever the issue is, that it's going to be there for you and your family and your friends. If people don't donate, we'll have, unfortunately, a lot of people who will not make it in life.
How many different blood types are there?
There are 4 blood types, type A, type B, type AB combined, and type O. And type O is a universal blood donor. And we really need O. We have maybe a couple of hours of O supply for this big old area we cover, Southern California.
You have a couple of hours of blood supply for an entire
Southern California area, millions of people, where we need about 7 days blood supply for the hospitals to meet a need. If there's ever an earthquake, that big one we're waiting for, a disaster, whatever there is, we wouldn't have enough blood to serve the people as of right now.
So if someone knows that they're type O, you would recommend that they come down?
We highly recommend it. I'm O positive myself. I'm a blood donor 4 times a year. So I'm just saying that if, in fact, you know you're a donor that has type O, come out, donate blood at Cerritos College.
Is there a way for people to come and find out what blood type they are if they don't know?
Not today, but that's a good question. When you donate blood, we'll test it for infectious diseases, and then last, we'll check for your blood type. And then we'll send you a little ID card in the mail that'll show your blood type. That same test at the local hospitals costs about $500 per test just to know your blood type.
If I go to the hospital right now just to find out my blood type, it's $500?
Right around there. We do it for free as part of the donation. Well, we want to know that the young people, especially at the college level, are being responsible in helping our community blood supply. So if I would say something today, please don't stop donating. We need you all the time. When you're eligible, and if you're eligible, and you can donate, some people can't, please come and donate, whether it's at Cerritos, at a local church, at a center, somewhere, donate blood, because you never know when you, a family member or a friend, will need blood.
Kelly Willis.
And would you please reconfirm your major for me?
Administration of Justice.
Okay. And why did you donate today?
I wanted to help save lives.
Is this your first time donating?
No, it's not. I actually donated in high school, and this is my first time at Cerritos.
For those that don't know, how did it feel?
It doesn't hurt. It just feels like someone took a sharp pencil and kind of poked you. But after that, it's painless.
Was it kind of nerve-wracking waiting?
A little bit, but if you know like what the cause is for, it's all good.
Do you know your blood type?
I'm A positive.
For the people here that are donating or that haven't donated yet, what would you want to tell them?
Get here early because the line is very long and it's a very long wait, but it's worth it.
And I noticed that they gave you something after you donated. What did they give you?
They gave me a donation t-shirt.
Okay, and was this for donating or did it have anything to do with that?
Just their appreciation that I took my time out of my day to donate to someone.
What do you think about the Red Cross donation and the plasma centers where they pay you to donate?
I think they're actually really helpful because there's a lot of people out there that need like blood transfusions or plasma. So every donation counts.
What about from the perspective of the Red Cross that doesn't pay you and then these other plasma centers that do pay you to donate?
Well, I just think it's more of like what you're doing it for. Some people do it for the money, but if you're really like kind-hearted, just donate it for free.
Joseph Chung.
And your major?
Architecture.
Why are you donating today?
Well, I'm not actually donating today. Okay. I'm just waiting for a friend.
Okay. Well, what do you think about this?
Well, I think it's a really good cause. I mean, like, you have nothing to lose if you give blood, and you have more to gain for others. I think everyone should do it at least once in their lifetime. It's like everyone should give if they have, you know? And I'm sure not everyone has a selfish heart, so.
Have you ever donated before?
I have before. I used to give a lot, actually. And, like, especially for the people who have, you know, the rare type bloods that can help a lot of people, I think they should take in consideration that, you know, they have the ability to help others and save lives. And I think people take that for granted sometimes, so. I don't know. I think everyone should try it. It's a very rewarding thing to do. And it's good for the soul, too, I think.
My name is DK Ezinekwe, and my major is statistics.
Is there a particular reason why you wanted to donate, or did you just feel like I had some time?
Initially, the reason was like, oh, dang, there's like free food. Like, I can definitely eat some free food. That was the original reason, but then like, you get in there and you like get all the emails and stuff like that about how many lives you're impacting, and then it kind of changes your viewpoint. Like, I still would like the food, but like the bigger purpose behind it is like, you know, you're helping people out. Like, that's just what it's all about. So
what would you tell people that are walking by not donating? What would you say to them?
I'd probably just tell them, like, you know, you're missing out on an opportunity to really help people out, to really change people's lives. Like, I mean, you know, it's obviously not not a requirement or anything like that, but it's definitely something helpful. And I would just tell them that you're really missing out.
This is Assistant News Editor Patrick Dolly for Campus News Hour. Shoplifters beware. The Cerritos College Bookstore prosecutes thievery to the fullest extent of the law. Despite visible efforts to thwart shoplifting, some students risk their academic careers for the sake of trying to make a quick buck.
Staff writer Nuri Vargas reporting.
Andres Alegria.
What happened? You were at the register?
I was working the line, and I see a guy walking out, and it beeps. And a lot of people say, oh, there's beeps and you guys don't even check. And we do. It doesn't mean that we don't. I observe a lot. And this time, this guy, he was walking out and he beeped. And he had no bags in hand. And out of nowhere, he beeps. Like, he doesn't have anything, no backpack, anything. So I immediately see the front of his shirt. On the front of his shirt, there's a like a outline of a book under his shirt. So that's I immediately assumed, oh, this guy stole the book. So he walks out, and I call him out, and he ignores me. He keeps walking and walking and walking. So I had to go back to the line. So I was like, oh, man, this guy got away. But then I kept going back and forth to see where he was at, so maybe I can see where he, if he takes out the book halfway where he's walking out.
He tried to walk out, but he was back in the store. He went back in the store, or did he go outside?
Oh, he was going back to the library, and then 6 minutes later, exactly 6 minutes later, because we saw on the cameras, he came back, and he said, oh, I want to sell back my book. And I immediately said, oh, this guy's trying to sell back the book he stole. So I tell my other coworker, can you cover the registers? I'm gonna go help this guy. So I go, and he says, oh, I wanna go sell my book. And I go, okay. Well, hold it. I take the book, and I tell him, okay, we're gonna do the buyback. I'm gonna go talk to my manager to see if we're buying back the book. So I go to the manager, and I told her, oh, this guy, I think he stole the book. And that's when I tell her, oh, let's check on the camera. And on the camera, for sure, we saw that he had got the book from the shelf. And plus, the textbook area is closed off, so nobody can go in there, only employees. So we see on the camera that he sneaks in under and goes to the book and gets it, folds it, and puts it in his shirt.
Why is the area closed off right now? Like, is the
area is closed because we're moving books around, and it's hazardous safety, you know, for the customers.
How long has it been since it's been closed? For the past week?
I think it has been a week, yeah. It usually stays open for like a month when school starts, and then we close it off because we're moving books around. We take books off the shelf, and then, you know, so that way we're moving stuff around, and we don't want people to, you know, interfere. So that's why we close it off. And we saw that he folded it up and put it on his shirt, and he walked out on the camera, and we saw that. So immediately when I saw that on the camera, and the manager saw that on the camera, she called campus police, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna go stall him. So I had the book in my hand, and I went back to where he was at the buyback section, and I was like, okay, we're gonna try to do this buyback. Mm-hmm. And I told him, can I see your California ID, please? And he takes out his California ID. And I tell him, okay, what's your phone number so I can put it in the system? And he gives me his phone number, and he gives him his ID. And I tell him, you know what? I think the system is down, so I'm going to have to go back to my manager and talk to her about the system. So that's when I went back to the manager, and I have his information and the book. And that's when campus police came in, and they arrested him, and they took him to the office. And I asked him if this was you, and obviously he said yes. And he got arrested, and then that's it.
So you kind of caught him with the manager?
I caught him. I actually saw, and I'm pretty tall, so I mean, I can see across the bookstore. And yeah, we have mirrors, and we have cameras, and the mirror helped me see that there was somebody in the aisle. And, you know, it was fortunate that he came back, but if he didn't come back, then it would have been the loss of the book, you know. But
so what was your guys' reaction at the bookstore when this happened? How did everyone react?
Well, it was like they were surprised at why he returned so quickly to sell back his book, you know. If he stole it from here, why didn't he go sell it somewhere else? But he came back here to sell it back. And that was our, like, we were like dumbfounded, like, why would he do that? My managers like congratulated me for doing what I did and stopping the guy, you know. So I guess he was desperate. I mean, I don't wanna say he is, but I think the officer said that he was addicted to crystal meth. I'm not sure, but that's what I heard. And I guess he wanted the money for that. That's what I'm guessing. I'm not affirming that.
Who was in the store?
We had a long line of customers, so he knew when to come in because we were busy. Then when the cops came, there was a longer line, so everybody was observing everything that was happening in the back of the store, and they were asking like what was going on. And I told them, oh, it would just, you know, stop somebody from stealing the book, and that's pretty much it.
Were there any victims? No.
No, nothing. Nobody got harmed. Everybody, just the girl that was working in the back, she was a bit afraid because, you know, because the guy looked very, he looked very scary, the guy.
Yeah.
So she was a bit afraid because she was working back there, so, you know.
Oh, okay.
But that's it. I mean, nobody got hurt.
My name's Robin. My last name is Lee.
Do you know the book in question?
It was a technology book.
Technology book? Mm-hmm. What was your reaction, like everyone's reaction here at the store, like for someone to go and come back?
You know what? It's not the first time. It's more you feel a little bit sad. My reaction was mainly, you know, sad that the person in question, you know, felt that they had to go to that that length, you know, because I'm who knows why he did it. But when I was talking to him, he didn't really seem like a malicious character at all. So I just felt sorry for him.
How many thefts or attempted thefts do you know that go on here?
That we know of?
That you know of, like, it's like, to your knowledge.
Know, right now, you know, it's a different time with the economy being so bad and students, it's hard to be successful in your class if you don't have the materials,
yeah.
You know? And there are so many students right now that it's hard, you know, it's hard to live. It's hard to afford rent in the first place. So I know that a lot of people are being, you know, are feeling like they're driven to do things that they normally wouldn't. So at this time that we're aware of, I don't know. I'm sure that there's a lot more that we don't know of.
Yeah.
Right now, I think, I'd say probably during rush, we caught, during the first 2 weeks of class, I think probably we caught maybe one person a day, I would say, trying to take stuff, yeah. And for us, it's a lot. You know, that's a lot to catch. That's, I know the rush before that, it wasn't, we didn't catch that a lot at all, but this rush, it was a little bit more than usual. In our region, amongst the other colleges, and this is 2 years and 4 years that are around us, when we do our inventories every year and we know how much has been stolen, ours is one of the lowest. So that means that, you know, we've got a great student body. We don't have as high of a rate of shoplifting as other stores do, and that speaks a lot to about the students at Cerritos, the fact that rate is so low at a time like this, you know, when a lot of stores are showing a higher rate of shoplifting. We haven't shown a higher rate at all.
The Music Club here at Cerritos College encourages musicians and music lovers to join, even if music is not their major. Canned food drive concerts and Toys for Tots toy drives are but a few events the Music Club has in store for this semester. Staff writer Lucia Sarabia reporting.
I'm Jennifer Ornelas. My major is music education, and I'm the ICC rep for the Music Club.
Can you tell me a little about the Music Club?
Those of us that we gather, we encourage anybody. Like, it doesn't have to be people who play instruments. It could just be anybody who loves music. They don't have to be a music major. They don't need to be a professional musician. We just encourage anybody to come along, and what we do is when we gather here, we usually, our main thing is we put together the charity concerts. Mm-hmm. And we usually have like a few every semester. We're trying this semester to get at least one a month. We're not sure about this semester. This month. But that's usually what we do. We just talk about things, talk about music.
How long has the club been established?
I don't know. I've come here since fall 2009, and it's been since then. And I've been attending them since then, so I know it probably has been before that.
Right. What is different, or what will be different from last semester?
From last semester, what we want to do is do a lot more concerts. We want to get the name of the music club out there, because one thing is we really want to encourage like the people to come, because these past few semesters, a lot of people didn't really know what it was. They were just thinking like you have to only be a music major to join it. And what we do is we want to get our name out there and just let them know that if you just have a love for music, you can join this club.
Do you guys do any fundraisers?
We have done fundraisers in the past. We're going to see if we could do more this semester. But like when the whole Japan incident happened, we had a concert for that in which we fundraised for that. One thing we have this semester is when they collect the cans for the canned good drive,
We
usually hold a concert for that, in which the entry to the concert is canned goods.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so we collect cans for that, and then we deliver that for the canned food drive. Another thing is we have this thing called Toys for Tots, in which it's for families who they can't buy Christmas presents for their kids. So we hold a concert, which the entry to that is a toy. You need to bring some kind of toy.
Okay.
So that's usually for this semester.
Okay. What type of performances will the music club hold?
Well, this semester, what we have planned so far, we're open to all types of music. We're like whoever we can get. We usually always hold auditions, but so far we're having a rap hip hop concert uh-huh. Planned, and we're probably also going to have a metal.
Really?
Yeah, a metal one. Different concerts, just because we only usually have like about an hour out there.
Okay.
In the amphitheater.
Yeah.
But that's what we have at least planned so far.
Okay. And how involved are the club members?
Usually pretty involved. A lot of the people, sometimes they can't make the meetings, but we keep in contact with them with emails. And so they like to know what's going on so that whenever it comes to something, they'll be like, okay, I'll show up for this, I'll show up for that. Our last meeting, that people were suggesting other charities, they're like, oh, we can do this, we can do that. We discuss things of what we can put together, all of us.
It's Mark Parra, and I'm on the side.
Is this your first time joining the music club?
Yeah, I joined like last month.
What do you enjoy most about it so far?
I mean, everybody looks like everybody gets along pretty well, and it's a pretty friendly environment, and the music, obviously, like the mixing the school with the music, so it's pretty cool.
How involved are you in the club?
Oh, this is my second meeting, so, I mean, okay. I've been to all the meetings I had this semester, but that's pretty much it.
And what are your expectations?
To get a better understanding of the music program here in Cerritos and, like, to help out, like, whatever musical way I can.
It's Javier Castillo. My major is music.
Okay, is this your first time joining the music club?
I've been in the music club close to 2 years now.
What do you enjoy most about participating in the club?
I enjoy just everyone's enthusiasm for music. I feel it goes beyond just casual listening. Like, there's a passion into it, and everyone's very active, like, musically, like, whether in performances or participating in, like, more hands-on than just being a spectator.
How involved are you in the club?
I've performed in, like, pretty much every time they have a show mm-hmm. that's sponsored by the music club, I've tried to perform, like, in those shows. I've also tried setting up, and right now I'm also the treasurer in the club, so... Yeah, I try to be involved and help out.
Do you guys do fundraisers?
Yes. We have a can drive show, and we have a Toys for Tots.
And how involved are you in that?
I try to get the word out, and also I try to perform at those shows as well. You know, we try to preach the good word of music and charity.
What are your expectations in the music club?
It's a very active year. Hopefully a lot of people show up, and people go to the shows, and, you know, hopefully we are able to get some new members in, and, you know, they are able to carry the music club well beyond everyone else that's already here transfer, you know.
Okay.
Keep it going.
The convocation presentation covered three issues that concerns the student body and staff here at Cerritos College. Is the school improving? Why is Cerritos College improving? How does Cerritos College accelerate on its improvement? News editor Anthony Hodge reporting.
My name is Dr. Brian Reese. I'm the Dean of Academic Success and Institutional Effectiveness.
First of all, could you give a quick explanation for your presentation today for those who weren't informed?
Yeah, we went over three issues today in the presentation. One is we asked the question, are we improving academically at Cerritos College? And the answer to that is, in the short, is yes. And we laid out a lot of data to support that answer. Then we asked the question, secondly, why do we think we're improving? You know, is it the economy? Is it some other factor? And I laid out the explanation as to why I think it's the student success plan that's having the impact on this. And then the third question we looked at is, how do we accelerate in this direction? Now that we're moving in the right direction, how do we accelerate? And there we talked about things that can block the acceleration and what you do to respond to that. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think the students can do in their part to improve?
I would say there's two things come to mind on students. One is they need to focus on getting more and more engaged with their own studies. So take more and more ownership of it. And to do that, they need to focus on iFalcon. So that's what that's all focused around. So focus, advance, link up, you know, comprehend, organize, and embrace new ideas. Then the other thing they really need to concentrate on is joining the academic community, that's particularly Link Up, by using the academic support services that we have here in the Success Center, by getting together and studying in groups, by staying on campus and joining clubs. You know, that's very, very important to the success of students. That's a really critical issue for them.
With that being said, with all the success rates of I believe you said 80%, correct?
Yeah, yeah. We have 80% of our departments are improving academically, but that means the students in those departments are improving academically.
Okay. Yeah. So what are you looking forward to in the future in order to help out Cerritos?
Well, I'm looking forward to everybody kind of moving forward with these five circles, right? Helping do things to improve student engagement, helping do things to improve teaching, improve the academic programs,
improve the academic infrastructure, and improve the student support services. Just continually to work on a long list of things that need to be done in those areas. And if we do that, then student success will keep just improving all along the way.
I'm Deborah Moore. I'm the president of Faculty Senate.
What do you think about the improvements that was talked about in this event today?
Well, I think it's very encouraging that a lot of our departments are showing increased student success. I think we want to keep moving in that direction. And I think the part we want to work on is he touched on it, sort of figuring out what's working right, and so we could do more of that. I think that will be the trick. But we all want people to do better, and so we want to bring everybody's scores up. So I'm encouraged, but I know there's more to do.
What do you think students can do to improve on their part?
Well, I think what we've discovered is students really need to try to do the things involved in the iFalcon program. They need to go to class every day. They need to do their work. They need to try to pick their classes in the right order so they will help them get through faster. Mm-hmm. Meet with a counselor, have an ed plan, mm-hmm. you know, all that stuff that's really in their control. That's their job. That's the part they got to take care of, because that's the part we can't do.
How do you explain like the turnout for the event?
As far as the enthusiasm of the audience?
I think the people there were very engaged and very enthusiastic about how we're moving ahead.
Okay, would you like to say anything else about today's event?
I think it was a great event, and I hope that we'll take this energy and keep moving forward.
Old time rock and roll is the theme for this year's homecoming event. Building a float based on the theme of music from the 40s and 50s is the fun task given to the various clubs on campus. Signups for Homecoming Queen and her court are being accepted as well. Staff writer Philip Oakley reporting.
Holly Bogdanovich, Director of Student Activities. Our homecoming event, the homecoming day is October 22nd, which is Saturday, and our theme this year is old time rock and roll, which is ideas from the 40s and the 50s, background theme. And today applications come out for the floats, which we do about 20 floats, which are sponsored one float per club or organization, and they come and hopefully pick up an application, turn it in today. The first 20 floats in, we'll have a float the day of homecoming, and they build them and decorate them the week before. We also have the Princess Court applications out. Any female on campus can come and fill out an application. They're available now in our office. The deadline for the homecoming court application is
September 29th
before. Okay.
28th.
September 28th before 3 p.m. And they just need to get their application in as soon as possible. And then once we have them cleared, they'll get a number. They run for homecoming court. From the homecoming court, depending on how many girls run, the top seven are usually chosen to run for then the queen position. And there's different events and activities around campus, but both parts are an election. The general application is you born a female, minimum GPA of 2.0, and shall be enrolled in a minimum of 6 units at Cerritos College. You can be sponsored by a club. You can be run independently. Our male version of homecoming will be in the spring semester, which is Mr. Cerritos, so the guys can get ready for that one. And it's whoever wants to turn one in can run for court. They just need to get the application in before the deadline. We currently are accepting the applications, but float applications are growing very quickly. In fact, we're almost filled up now, and as you know, it's just been not even an hour after the opening, so if anybody else is interested, they better come in ASAP. We usually take 2 people on the wait list for the floats, and we take as many court applications as people want to turn in, so get in these applications to run for homecoming court.
This week's Free Speech Zone asked the student body how it feels about online courses offered at Cerritos College and if such courses are truly beneficial. Staff writer Alan Sanchez reporting.
I'm here with Carlos
Pérez.
And your major?
Computer programmer.
So Carlos, tell me, have you had any luck with online classes?
No, I haven't. I haven't gotten into any.
It doesn't interest you?
Nah, I see it like more difficult. Like,
in what ways?
Like, you would have to keep up with, like, what's going on in every class, in that class especially.
Ashley Mendoza.
And your major?
Fashion design.
So, Ashley, can you tell me, what luck have you had with online classes?
I haven't had any, but I'm pretty sure they're hard because you're pretty much on your own.
So you've never applied for any online classes?
No, because I was warned by a lot of people not to, so I decided not to.
And do you think in the future you might try?
Um, I might try one to see if I could do it, but yeah.
I'm Chris Silva.
And Chris, your major?
It's computer science.
So Chris, can you tell me what kind of luck you've had with online classes?
I haven't really took in online classes, as such as hybrids, if that's what you're asking. I'm not familiar with those subjects yet, but I will pretty soon get to those subjects.
Have you heard a lot of people say that online classes are more complicated? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I say they could be if you don't know the programs or the techniques to actually go through the process. But if you know what you're doing and you know what the process is all about, I say it could be pretty easy.
Iris Mendoza, I'm undecided.
Okay, so Iris, can you tell me what kind of luck you've had with online classes?
I dropped one because it was like hard keeping up with the homework and all the assignments, and you sort of had to do it on your own, so I dropped it.
Would you recommend online classes to anyone?
No. Not at all.
So your experience was bad with the online class?
Yeah, because mostly I kept missing like every homework. Like you have to keep track of it, and they just help you like for a little time, and then after you have to do everything on your own. And then after we come back like a week later and we have to turn in all the work.
So. Okay.
Navdeep Sekhon.
And your major?
Health.
Can you tell me what kind of luck you've had with online classes?
Well, I heard online classes for some people that are busy with their work and everything, it's better for them. And for students that are coming from high school, they don't have good experience because they're not used to the technology that much. So it depends where you're at.
So, and as for you, do you think online classes would work, or you prefer regular classes?
Well, I prefer regular classes for myself.
Lauren Didio.
And your major?
Anthropology.
So, Lauren, can you tell me what kind of luck you've had with online classes since you've been at Cerritos?
Well, I haven't had any online classes personally, but I have friends that have had them, and I actually have a friend who's in one right now. She doesn't go to Cerritos College, but she goes to Cypress, and she was telling me about how it's kind of a pain because she gets these assignments, and, you know, they're due on Friday at the end of the week, but she ends up forgetting about them during the week until, like, the last minute. So I remember, like, the first assignment that she had, she didn't even end up turning it in because she forgot about it, and then she was doing it at the last minute, and it got past 12, and then you have to turn it in at 12 on Friday. So, yeah, I don't think I'd really honestly want to take one because I wouldn't want the hassle of, like, having assignments and then forgetting about it and just, you know, I wouldn't want that whole mix-up.
Feel the beat.
It's what's happening, who's happening at Cerritos College, and why.
Feel the beat, the Talon Marks and TalonMarks.com.
It's what you're doing, what you're thinking, what you're watching and listening to.
Feel the beat, the Talon Marks and TalonMarks.com.
It's your school, your town, your world, your life. Read about it in the Talon Marks and TalonMarks.com.
Feel the beat, the Talon Marks and TalonMarks.com.
The Talon Marks and TalonMarks.com. The beat of Cerritos College. Talon Marks students, headlines don't sell papers. Newsies sell papers. With a win over Long Beach's women's water polo team, the Falcons are feeling a sense of controlled optimism with visions of self-improvement. Staff writer Enrique Rivera reporting.
Shelby Gleason.
How do you hear about today's win?
Pretty excited.
You scored two goals. How do you feel about that?
Pretty good. Just glad I contributed.
You did well. You were leading in the first half. What do you think helped you guys keep the leads in order to eventually win the game?
We just kept playing our game and we never stopped. That's all. Catherine Gabiron.
How do you feel about today's win?
I feel good about it, but I'm sort of disappointed in myself because I don't think I played that well. I think I personally could have done better. Like, I think it was just, like, nerves, and it was our first, and it's a big game because this team, it's our rivals, and it's our first game, so I think we were just nervous. Well, we just knew we had to keep up, we had to stay ahead, because if they caught up, then we'd have a lot of trouble catching back up to them if they passed us. This game helped a lot because it showed us what we need to work on, and it showed us, like, we have a lot more work to do to become better.
It's always nice to beat Long Beach. That's our goal every season, is to beat them, but this is not going to be the last time we're going to play them. If we want to become conference champs, we're going to have to go through them at least one more time. And I wouldn't be surprised if we face them three more times this year. So that's just one game, but both teams are going to improve. If we don't improve, it might be a different outcome next time.
The team was leading before the half. What do you think helped you guys keep that lead?
I think defense and our goalie play helped our confidence, had us feel comfortable playing defensively. So we knew we missed offensively, but our defense is what kept us in the game. Well, we hope so. We got side this Saturday. They're the number one team, defending state champs. We have American River, Santa Rosa, who are the top two teams from up north. We have San Diego Mesa this weekend as well.
The women's volleyball team reflected on the reasons it was defeated by Fullerton. Campus News Hour also spoke to opposing coach Eddie Raff on his strategy that led to the win. Editor-in-Chief Pete Moye reporting.
Number 16, Lord Chan. All right, so Fullerton was able to get up on you guys early on the night. How come you guys feel the turn of energy?
We were trying. We just kind of got down on ourselves and just kind of let things get to our head. But, yeah, we weren't really talking to each other as teammates, and we were just getting angry with one another. So, yeah, just hopefully next time we can pick it up.
How much did the Fullerton size have an effect on you?
I think just got in our own heads with our own talk and just watching them hit and stuff like that. So I don't think it was really their size that mattered to us. It was just more of our own selves. We just beat ourselves up.
And then after starting the season 1-1, how are you guys going to get back on the winning side?
Hopefully with a lot more practice and more talking and more teamwork together. So yeah, just spend a lot more time together.
Thank you. Have a good one. All right, can I get your first and last name, please?
Eddie Rapp.
All right, Coach. You guys came in here, took control early, and held pressure on them all night. How are you able to do it?
You know, we put some pressure on them with our serve. We did well with our serve, and then strong at the net. Strong
play at the net. You guys definitely had the height advantage. You were bigger and stronger than Cerritos. How did they help you in the match?
You know what? They got some athletes over there, and they got some hops. So we just needed to make sure that we sealed the net and kind of put the pressure on them.
All right, what do you guys? How do you guys going to improve before your next match?
What we need to do get better is just making sure we don't miss a beat when people are coming off the bench.
This week's Campus News Hour student feature focuses on graphic design illustrator and designer Oscar Rodriguez. His successful career spans from designing art for private parties to making art for the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Staff writer Andre Katim reporting.
My name is Oscar Rodriguez. I'm an illustrator. I've done illustrations for pretty much most of my life, you know, and I started doing art when I was a little kid, and you know, when I went off to school and tried to, you know, strengthen my, you know, my abilities to be a professional illustrator, and that's pretty much what I do now. I mean, I do a lot of other things, you know, like in terms of graphic design and art. So I guess I'm pretty much what we call a graphic artist, you know, because I infuse illustration and graphic design and, you know, whatever the you know, the job is. That's what I do. You know, if they hire me to do some sort of a design, then I'm able to, you know, use all the programs and abilities that come with, you know, with that field. You know, same thing as illustration or any kind of commissioned art.
Wow. So could you explain a little bit about how you started here at Cerritos, how Cerritos was a part of your development?
Well, I mean, pretty much after I graduated high school, I'm like, you know, well, what do I want to do with my life? You know, do I want to, you know, get an education, or do I want to start, you know, trying to look for a job? And I mean, I did go out there and I worked at a regular, you know, just a regular job. And I realized that's not for me. So I came to Cerritos. Cerritos has been, like, you know, pretty much my home. You know, even after I graduated, you know, I still came by and you know, just to be around the campus and around, you know, people that I've, you know, that I admire. I was part of the Talent Marks, you know, with Rich Cameron and I think Alicia's in there now. I did all the editorial illustrations. Before that, I already had some experience with editorial illustration with this newspaper called LA Youth. But yeah, you know, here at Cerritos, all the art classes were pretty cool. The Talent Marks was great. I won a couple of JACC awards for illustration. And yeah, the school's pretty cool, you know. I mean, enough for me to come back and take
some. You still find Cerritos helpful? Even now at the level that you're at, you still think Cerritos can provide something for you? Or?
Well, yeah, you know, it's always a, like, with anything else, it's always a learning curve. You know, you always kind of, like, want, you know, you always come back to try to get something out of, you know, out of whatever it is that you do. You know, you want to push yourself, and that's pretty much what I'm here to do. You know, I enrolled, you know, so I could take some more art classes and try to get better at, you know, what I do. And so far it's been pretty cool, because other, you know, if I wouldn't be taking classes, then I wouldn't be able to have a model or, you know, expand myself the way that I want to, you know. So it's pretty cool, you know, the whole JC system, you know, that allows me to do that. You know, I can't go back to, you know, to universities that, you know, and just take a class, you know, and right here I can. And it's not that expensive.
If you could break, maybe go into a little bit about what really drives you as an artist when you're working, even if it's professional, what are the things that really inspire you to keep doing what you do?
I mean, I look at other people, my colleagues, you know, some of them are already working in the industry, you know, doing big budget films, or even people that I've, you know, that I've grown, you know, to like over the years. And I look at their work and I always get amazed at the level of technique and finish that they get at, and I aspire to get to that level. And every time I do a commissioned work, whether it's a portrait or an illustration or concept art or storyboards, I always think of, you know, of a professor or a friend that was really good at that respective field, and then I get inspired to get to that level.
Do you have an agenda when you do artwork? Is there a message that you like to relay to the world when you do your work that people can kind of see when they see your work, or is it all over the board?
Well, I mean, it depends on the commissioned piece. If it's something that's very specific to the client, then obviously I can't translate that message. That, you know, there's no message. There's just exactly whatever the client wants me to do, then I'll do it. That's what illustration is about. It's not about me having an idea. You know, it's about me just meeting the, you know, the client's demands. Whenever I do other type of work where they want me to create something, then yeah, you know, then I have that liberty to create a message. A lot of times it could be, you know, it could be anything from social awareness to friendly, you know, themes or, you know, stuff like that. You know, that's not too. I'm not the type of person that's very opinionated, so I'm very tamed in my work. I just love whenever I do a piece. You know, there is a hint of a theme or an idea, but it's not too obvious, you know, and because I'm not that kind of artist. But when, like, during the summers, I also work for the mayor of LA. I teach a class for at-risk youth. When I deal with them, you know, I try to inspire them, try to expose them into something that they probably never thought about before, you know, which is being an artist. Or more specifically, you know, I work with kids that are from the projects, and they probably never have that exposure. And when I go out there, you know, they look at me, and you know, I'm a person of color, and then they see me, and I'm already doing something, you know, with art, and I inspire, you know, I hope to inspire them, and some, you know, one way or another, they'll try to imitate that, you know, and they'll try to, you know, see like, okay, well, this guy's, you know, one of us, and you know, he's doing this, you know, so it can be done, you know. And that's pretty much what I love doing, you know, with that program.
What have been some of your personal highlights in the professional world that you've worked on projects?
I mean, each project is different. You know, there's some that are really, you know, cool to work on. Some of the biggest highlights probably have to be my own personal illustrations that actually have gotten me scholarships. But I guess my most recent one was working on the Red Hot Chili Peppers music video, the latest one that just came out, and that was pretty, you know, that was pretty cool because, you know, I got called, you know, to work on a music video for a band that's, you know, pretty well known, you know, and that was, I guess, in terms of my storyboarding illustration career, that's probably the biggest one that I've done.
What was the name of that project in particular?
Well, it was the music video for Rain Dance Maggie or something like that. It's the new one that just came out, so that was pretty cool. And just dealing with a whole bunch of, you know, like the entertainment industry, you know, doing a whole bunch of storyboards for commercials and music videos has been, you know, really cool. You know, doing the first one that I, you know, the first major storyboards that I worked on was Q-Tip's Getting Up video. And then I've done a couple of MTV promos and airline, you know, stuff like that, you know, and it's been pretty cool.
Could you maybe express a little bit about how those types of opportunities come into you, or what's the process when you go?
Well, I mean, it's all about networking. Pretty much. It obviously, you know, you when I was in school, you know, I'm surrounded by a whole bunch of people that are already doing stuff in the industry, you know, whether it's professors or fellow students, and sometimes they'll like toss things around, you know, like, oh, well, you know, are you interested in working in this project? While I was at Cal State Long Beach, and I was part of the storyboards, I guess, class, the film department decided to kind of fuse both, you know, both departments together in terms of trying to have like a professional atmosphere, trying to get that feel of the real world, you know, what real professionals do in the field. And it dealt with directors trying to get illustrators to do storyboards for them. So I did a couple of those while I was in college. I did storyboards for a couple of film, you know, student films. One of them was the Ford Focus commercial. I did one for Saddleback College. And it was all pretty cool. And then the rest is just networking. You get to work with one person, and then, but that person, you know, has like a group of people that person's working with. So all of them, when they do their own separate projects, they hire me, you know. So I started working with, I did this MTV promo. Once I got out of college, my first gig was an MTV promo. And I worked with this guy, and out of that guy, I just passed out my business cards, and all these directors started calling me. So I started doing a whole bunch of different projects. Fruit of the Loom commercials, soda commercials, you know, a whole bunch of different directors. So it's been pretty cool. Then that's pretty much how I, you know, how you kind of get started. You know, it's all about networking. And it's the people that you meet in college or in your professional career that are pretty much going to give you the, you know, that path, you know, to success, I guess.
Is there a particular thing that you would like in this article for us to get across regarding your work and to share with people?
I'm pretty much a person that's like pretty quiet, like I'm, you know, but I guess if I could give advice to anyone, it's just pretty much stay in school, you know, work hard. Sometimes things don't work out the way you want them to, so you kind of have to like find a way to make it work. Things will eventually happen when the time's right. It's happened to me, you know, like sometimes I need work and all of a sudden I get three calls, you know, for three different jobs, you know. And yeah, just keep busy, you know, whatever job you have, you know, just maintain it and aspire to whatever you want to be. Whether you want to be like a singer, rapper, you know, hip-hop artist, you want to be a painter, you want to be a gallery artist, illustrator, graphic designer, you want to be a teacher, doesn't matter, it's all the same. You got to work as hard, and you know, there's always that competition, but you know, use that competition to kind of strengthen yourself, you know, be better, but not to beat someone, you know, in terms of professional career, but try to get yourself to be better. You know, that's, I guess, a personal advice.
Is there any other skill sets that you've come to find out that maybe somebody who's going into your field wouldn't maybe know from the beginning that were really useful? Or
as I was saying before, you know, sometimes you get out of school and then whatever you graduated in might not be the first thing that you find in terms of jobs. The good thing is that even when I was at Cerritos, I've learned to use Photoshop and Illustrator and all those other programs. Once I got out of high school and I was looking for a job, I landed a job as at a studio, you know, fixing photos and graphic design. And that's pretty much where I, you know, I started doing all this graphic design stuff and photography. And that's my job right now. Like that's my full-time job, you know. And the illustration stuff, that's kind of like my freelance work. But I have you know, a steady job, you know, where it's not what I graduated in, but a lot of the tools that I learned in school, I, you know, they apply. Whether it's being creative with photo manipulating the images, you know, and creating some mystical atmosphere, whatever, with the photographs. The same thing with the magazine I work for. All of a sudden, I got involved with photography. That I go to conventions every year, and I get to meet hundreds of people. I've worked with a lot of professional, like world known photographers. You know, with the, you know, as part of the magazine, you know, interviewing, the same thing as you're doing. And because I knew how to use, or I know how to use InDesign and Illustrator and Photoshop, I got hired as an art director for the magazine, and that's pretty much what I do now as well. You know, so I have a lot of different types of side jobs. You know, I keep them. You know, it's not what I, you know, like I want to do paintings and I want to do concept art and storyboards, you know, for the rest of my life. But you know, the reality is that it doesn't happen that way. You have to kind of wait for that thing to, you know, to happen. And you got to work with what you got. When I was in school, I never thought that I was going to be working in photography, you know, doing a whole bunch of Photoshop for the last, 3 years that I've been doing this. So it's pretty cool, you know, and I've gotten to love this gig. So I guess that's kind of like an extra thing that I know how to do as well.
That's great. And the name of the magazine that you work for?
It's called Punto Magazine.
Thank you very much for taking the time to do the interview.
No problem.
The Taste of the Region in Business Expo was serenaded by the Cerritos College Music Department. Staff writer Miguel Hernandez reporting.
I'm Bob Arthur, Vice President of the Board of Trustees.
Why did you decide to come here today?
The city of Cerritos is just one of many cities that encompass the Cerritos College District. And we on the Board of Trustees and the administration believe that we are a community college and should be heavily involved within our communities. So whenever there is a special event, whether it has to do with the chambers, our school districts, our businesses that are hosting events, we try to have a presence there, either the Board of Trustees, the administration, or the Public Relations Department. And I'm here today to show my support for the City of Cerritos, the Chamber of Commerce in Cerritos, as a member of that chamber, and participate as much as I can. Meet as many businesses and as many people and shake hands and talk about their businesses, learn more about them, and tell them what I can about Cerritos College.
Do you see any pride knowing that the Cerritos Orchestra is playing here?
I love that type of music. Chamber music like this is terrific. I didn't know that Cerritos College players were playing them. That's terrific. That's just phenomenal. They're very talented people. Very envious. I've always wanted to be able to play a musical instrument, but that's not one of the things that I ever found the time to devote and become proficient at.
Chrissia Molina.
What instrument do you play?
I play the alto saxophone.
How were you selected to perform tonight? Was it your decision or?
I was asked by Dr. Betancourt, who is the dean of the music department at Cerritos College.
Is this a free event or are you?
Oh no, this is volunteer work.
Is this the first event that you attend, that you perform?
No, we usually do, well, because we're part of the concert band at Cerritos and the jazz band, and so we do concerts at school, but we usually do other, with the school we do other events, but between us, just like for ourselves, this is our first one.
My name is Joel Tercero. I play the flute.
How long were you guys playing today?
Today we played for about an hour.
What type of music were you playing?
Mostly classical literature.
How did you get selected to play here today? Did you volunteer for this?
Our band director selected us to play.
What was your reaction when he told you to play?
I just said, sure, okay, why not?
Were you excited?
Yeah, because there was food.
Have you played any other events like this?
Like this? Yeah, every now and then.
Janet Cisneros. I play the clarinet.
Is performing at events like this part of the grade? Or just an incentive?
No, this is part of an experience. And the more that we get asked to do stuff like this, is only going to better the musician. So it's an honor, and it's just worth it, you know? So you take all the opportunities you can, because it's only going to better yourself as a musician.
Trustee TV is a program that makes videos from various college campuses across the state. These videos are intended for students to see and be informed on what is happening on different campuses. Staff writer Enrique Rivera reporting.
My name is Ariel Hughes, and I'm the student trustee.
Okay, what can you tell us about the program?
As for Trustee TV, Francisco Contracosta came up with it. It's kind of a program, videos for students across districts from other colleges to look and see what's going on at other colleges across the state, I guess you could say.
What are the resources you guys might use?
Right now, we're actually in the process of getting everything together to see what best fits the program. From my understanding, people are sending in videos, trustees are sending in their videos, ASCC presidents are sending in their videos. First, they send, I guess, a prototype, and then Francisco reviews it, and then they see about, I guess you could say, from each college, if they all have a newspaper like ours, Talent Marks, so I can have somebody professional take that video and make it something for students to see.
How soon?
They actually just got started on this around, I guess you could say, the September, around in August, beginning September. Mm-hmm. So people are still sitting in videos because there's a lot of trustees out there, and we had a workshop in August before school started, and there was only a little bit of us, but that's not even counting the people who couldn't make it. So, of course, it takes a lot of time and effort.
How does this help the board?
In helping the board, it sees what other trustees, as well as either ASCC presidents because some of them have a combined position, sees what's going on in other districts, like as for, you know, Orange County District, what's going on in their colleges or what's going on somewhere further or near, closer to us, like Cypress College and things like that.
The homecoming event brings people together from all walks of life from the various clubs here at Cerritos College. With good, clean fun planned with club events, Cerritos College has a contingency plan set up in case problems happen within the clubs. Opinion editor Stephen Quintana reporting.
Gary Kane.
I'm the coordinator of judicial affairs.
How many years have you held that position?
I'm starting my fourth year.
Okay, and last Thursday, I believe, you spoke at the homecoming kickoff luncheon, right?
That's correct.
And you were talking about like harassment and like hostility, even through like social media sites.
Correct.
In between, like within clubs, right?
Yes, I was talking to the various clubs and organizations just to try to give them a heads up of some things that they might be able to prevent from happening if they were at least aware of it, or some past experiences that we and things that we've dealt with here on campus. And I gave a couple of examples, and some of those examples had to deal with sometimes unwarranted harassment from one student to another student within the clubs and organizations. And should that happen, it should be dealt with immediately by the advisor or the club administration, and so it doesn't escalate into a much larger and potentially much larger situation.
As far as like this semester goes, have you had any problems like within clubs like already or no?
Not one, and I got my fingers crossed. But no, I have not had one situation from any of the clubs or organizations here on campus.
And in your 4 years, what year did you have the most trouble?
Quite honestly, we've had very few situations that have reached this office regarding clubs and organizations. I really couldn't tell you how many or what year was better than the other, or we had more than the other. But I can say in general that I receive very few complaints, and I have had to deal with very few situations for discipline reasons regarding our clubs and organizations.
What would be like your best advice, like if you start seeing like hostility within a club? Like,
the best advice I would give any advisor or club administrator or even club members: if you feel that there is something, if you are uncomfortable with something that's going on in the club, or you feel there is a potential problem arising, that you act on it immediately. Bring the necessary parties in, discuss it, try to resolve it, or at least bring it to the attention of the advisor so they can try to handle it, but don't allow it to fester and eventually escalate into something that could have been resolved at a very early stage.
And most of the cases that you deal with, are they like a man harassing a woman or being hostile with a woman, or would it be like...
It can go either way.
Either way. Okay.
No, it's not necessarily a situation where... men are harassing the females in the clubs or vice versa. I've definitely had both.
Robert Brown, vice president of the music club at Cerritos College.
And what is your major?
Music, actually.
How do you feel about like everything with the homecoming, like all the like events that are going on right now?
I'm excited for it. I'm excited to see what people do, what kind of clubs are gonna impress me with flutes. I think the music club has something up our sleeve. This is a good theme this year, I think, especially for the music club. So I think we're going to do a lot of turn heads and shock some people with our
Speaking about the theme, how much of an advantage do you think you guys have, seeing how it's rock and roll, you guys are the music club?
I think we have a big advantage. I mean, who knows more about rock and roll than us, the music club? We actually take classes on music history and stuff like that, not just because we do Beethoven and Mozart, but I mean, we got some stuff up our sleeves. So I think people are going to be shocked by it.
Depending on like all the other clubs, who do you think is one club that you think is would give you the most like trouble? Like
the broadcasting club. The broadcasting radio WPMD, where people make a difference. So they are probably the competition we have. I mean, they play music every day. We write and play it, but they play it on the radios and put it in people's ears. So I think that's the biggest advantage they have as well, right there.
And going off of what Gary Kane's was talking about, how do you feel about like all that like harassment like within clubs?
That's unnecessary. We're all here for the same thing. We're not here to make people's lives more difficult by adding harassment and being immature. Little kids, we're all grown-ups, act like it.
Janet Cisneros.
And you are the...
The music club president.
And what is your major?
Music education and performance.
Like, what are your thoughts on the whole meeting, yeah, overall?
Very positive. Everybody seems very energetic about the semester, about their goals. Coming from another campus, it's just so well organized, and everybody, I just can't emphasize enough that everybody's really positive. Everything's organized, what can I say? but it was a really good meeting.
Let me talk to you about the theme for the homecoming float. How much of an advantage do you think you guys as the music club have, seeing that the theme is rock and roll?
Rock and roll? We might play that to our advantage, so I won't give too much away, but we're going to try to come up with a good theme. You know, a good float. So we're gonna talk to the music, well, our club members, and see what they can come up with and help us brainstorm, and hopefully we do a good job.
And out of all the other clubs, who do you think is the one club that will give you the most trouble?
Probably the anime club, because they are so creative. I gotta give them that. They're very creative. So, I guess I would say that club.
Okay, and let me talk to you about what Gary Kanes was talking about. How do you feel about the whole situation with like harassment and all this like hostility in clubs?
You know, I didn't know that, you know, would happen here, but you know what, it does happen everywhere, and that has happened to me before, but it was at another college. I want to emphasize that. It's another college, not this college. But it's something to be taken seriously, and I think if the leaders of clubs, like the president and the club advisor and the vice president, if there's an open communication and a friendly, positive atmosphere that they give to the club members, then I would feel that the club members would feel comfortable speaking out, or, you know, if something went wrong. So I guess to avoid things like that would be to have open communication and respect for each other.
Jesse Sotelo, president of the Social Networking Club, a major in psychology.
What were your thoughts on the event overall, the meeting?
It was pretty good. They cleared up a lot of stuff that the advisors were asking me for advice about. So they got a little thorough, and we got to meet all the other clubs. So in other words, it was a good experience.
Based on the theme for the event for the float, how good of a shot do you think you have as a club?
I don't know. I got to ask the club to see if people would be interested. If they're interested, then we'll go with it, try to come up with some kind of thing. And if they're not interested, then we'll just let someone who wants it have it.
Do you think it'd be easy for your club to come up with something for rock and roll as a theme? Because I know it's not really like in that same area.
Yeah, it should be. Our club is very diverse. We got like greasers, rockabilly people, so they relate to that era of music, and they could illustrate it to us by showing us different things that we could do.
Let me talk to you about Gary Kanes and what he talked about. What are your thoughts on like the hostility and like harassment within clubs?
Certain people bring it amongst themselves, but I guess harassment's always a big thing. You gotta watch out wherever you go about harassment. You could be looking at someone against harassment.
My name is Sonia Saravia.
And what is your position in the WPMD club?
I'm the secretary of the WPMD club.
And what is your major?
I'm majoring in, right now, I have it as pharmacy.
What were your thoughts overall on the meeting, I guess?
I thought it was good. Like, it's true, you know, there are, I don't know personally if there are clubs that do that, that harass their own students and their own club members or anything, but I think that it's good, you know, that we should know that as higher-ups in the clubs, we shouldn't be harassing people just because, you know, supposedly we have more time in them or something. Like, yeah, we shouldn't be pushing people around. Like, everybody should be equal, and everyone should be able to say their opinions and agree and work with everything. Like, it shouldn't matter positions or anything.
How do you feel like the WPMD club will do in the, like, the events overall, like all the games?
I think we would do good because we're a great group. Like, we have a lot of people who are really into it, and everybody's really psyched about it. And, like, you could just tell that everyone's just like, yeah, they're all hyped. And, like, we have a lot of fun people in the club and, like, a lot of creative people. And, like, I think it would be great.
The theme of the homecoming float, how much of an advantage do you think you guys as a radio station you guys have over all the other clubs?
I think we have a pretty good advantage because the whole radio thing, technically we are somewhat storytellers in a way, since we're storytellers to the mind. So we kind of have that advantage where we use our imagination in order for you guys to get it. Because, you know, the whole radio bit, you have to have imagination in order to pull off the radio shows and all of that. So then I think we could work with it, and, like, it'll help us out a lot since we are a group of a bunch of imagination people. storytellers, I don't know, whatever you want to call it.
What club do you think would give you the most trouble?
Well, I don't know what other clubs are in it, that's the thing. I think, like, if we're talking about drama or anything like that, I think if we're most likely the artistic ones, like, I don't know, the arts club or something, since they're already working with artistic stuff. And then the entire thing, since it's the floats, you need a lot of imagination and you need a lot of artistic background or something. Like, you just need a lot of ideas to kind of portray what's really happening in your float and stuff. So since they have that artistic advantage on us, I guess it would be harder because they could see things that we probably can't. Like, yeah, we're storytellers and stuff, and like, we'll make fun stuff up. But, like, in order to portray it, I don't know if that would be the same thing.
This has been the fifth installment of Talent Marks Campus News Hour here on WPMD.org on the net. We thank you for listening and would like to remind you to pick up the printed edition of Talent Marks at news racks located throughout the campus. We would also like to invite you to log on to talentmarks.com for the latest in breaking news here at Cerritos College. On behalf of the Talent Marks staff, I'm Tito Benavides. Have a great day, Falcons.